Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Anderson, Indiana, and earned a BA degree in theology from Hanover College. From 1992 to 2004, he was the general sales manager of the Indianapolis Star newspaper. And from 2006 to 17, he was the director of partnerships of All Pro Dad. Since 2018, he's been the CMO of Athletes in Action, the co-author of The Jersey Effect, Beyond the World Championship. His calling is a ministry of availability. His name, Garen Gray. And I'm Jack Prasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Prasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Garen Gray, the Minister of Availability. Garen, welcome. An honor to have you.
It's my pleasure to be here today, Jack.
Can we start by you offering an opening prayer this evening?
I'd be honored. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for a chance to come together with believers united across the media ecosystem to come together and to give you the praise that you deserve, Lord. We love you so. We'll continue to give you the honor in the midst of difficult times, and we thank you for all the joys in our lives, especially in and around the world of sport. Lord, we love you, and we will serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Darren. Let's start by you're telling us about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please.
Oh, my goodness. I get to talk about my childhood. I grew up in Anderson, Indiana. It was a middle-class existence. My dad worked for General Motors. My mom was a nurse for a local ophthalmologist. So I had a pretty good upbringing in Anderson. I grew up, sports was part of the fabric of our life. In fact, my family had the keys to the gymnasium at the South Meridian Church of God because my dad was the church treasurer. My mom was in the choir. And so we were in the fabric of that church. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and many times in between. But those keys to the gymnasium, as small as that sounds, made us the game makers. So me, my brother, eventually my brother-in-law and my dad were constantly getting together those 10 guys or greater to come and play ball, pick up games. It's not uncommon for us to be in the gymnasium after midnight, and basketball was the order of the day, Hoosiers in Indiana. And so that was the game that I know best, which is kind of ironic now because so much of my public persona is built around the world of professional football with what I do in and around that world. But we'll talk about that in a few. But I'll land the plane here with you and let you ask the follow-up question.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Dad? And what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom?
You know, my dad was really even keel, and I've spent a lot of time with him of late because my mom recently passed in the pandemic, and that was a really hard thing. And my dad is so measured. He's so consistent. He was always there for me at all my games. He made time and he made it a priority to make sure that we knew that he was proud of us and that he loved us. Now, my mama, she was amazing. I probably molded a little bit more like her in that she was outgoing, effervescent on stage, and constantly just connecting people in the community. People sought after her for her advice. So I remember Mom just being such a loving and connecting woman that taught me an awful lot about empathy, about how to care for people really, really well, and then to pay attention to the small things in life that make a big difference. So that was my mom and my dad, Connie and Larry Gray.
All right, we're talking to Darren Gray, and he got a degree in theology from Hanover College, but then he diverted, and you become the general sales manager of the Indianapolis Star newspaper. What'd you tell your mom and your dad when you left the ministry world to become a newspaper kind of guy?
Well, that's quite a question.
You know, the smoke-filled rooms and the beers and everything else.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that going on for sure. you know, that it was a bit of a path. You know, we've all got a journey. But when I graduated from Hanover College in 1989, I had the good fortune to be able to travel to Europe. While I was there, I was at the Berlin Wall shortly thereafter when it came down. I lived a lot of those international moments. It was amazing. The high call of freedom. You know, what does perestroika really mean? It was an amazing time. So I learned an awful lot while I was overseas. And in so doing, I learned that it's a big world. And, you know, God opened up doors through a series of circumstances, not in any grand way, but in a little way. And I remember a man, his name was Alfred J. Powell, never forget him. And Alfred J. Powell said to me one day, Darren, if you ever need to make money or create income for yourself, I've got an idea for you. And I'm like, okay, tell me about that. Because, you know, I'm out of college, I'm back stateside, and I needed income and hadn't yet settled on where I would go. And he said, if you show up at 6 o'clock tonight, then you can go to work tonight. And you know what he did, Jack? He taught me how to sell newspaper subscriptions door to door. You want to talk about learning the art of people, learning missional connectivity with people at their front door. And I tell you what, 2 weeks later, I was the crew chief. 3 or 4 months later, I was running the crews. Several months later, I was the promotion director. At the Indianapolis Star, I had 11 different opportunities to grow and to learn, ultimately culminating with 4 years of being the general sales manager underneath the parent company of Gannett, a publicly traded Fortune 500 company. And they taught me more about who I was and what I could do to help learn and grow and essentially minister to my employees who were part of this large enterprise, which I was running. It was remarkable. I'll land the plane here in that by the time I left there in 2004, I had opportunity to, as a little young kid from Anderson, Indiana, to really see the world, have an influence across the states through the media enterprise, Louisville, Indianapolis, Nashville, Cincinnati, and the four markets where I had influence as the general sales manager. It was really pretty cool, and it taught me an awful lot about people. And I'll never forget all that the Indianapolis Star did to help me grow as a person. Although it feels a long way from theology, I'm not sure that it is. We had a verse on the front page of the newspaper every morning, and I tell you, the values of the Pulliam family that started that paper so long ago really are instilled in me, and the heart of that really matter to me.
We're talking to Darren Gray. When we come back, we're going to ask him how he transitioned from being a sports journalist, general manager, to a sports minister and leadership teacher. And I'm Jack Brasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Brasula. We're with Darren Gray. Darren, how'd you transition from the Indianapolis Star to being a sports minister and leadership teacher?
You know what? I got a phone call from the Indianapolis Colts, and the leader that called me from there is still there to this day. His name is Brad Beery, and Brad worked in the sponsorship development department of the Indianapolis Star, and he called me and said, Darren, you've got a new head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, and we'd like to see if the Indianapolis Star would want to be a partner with his vision to start a fatherhood program in Indianapolis. And Jack, I was a young dad. This would have been in 2002. So I'm sort of at the apex of my influence in the greater Indianapolis community. Like I'm brokering buy-sell relationships with all of the teams. We're buying tickets and sponsorships. They're buying media to help sell their tickets and promote their relative teams. We're the auto racing capital of the world, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Colts, the Pacers, the Ice, the Indians. And that's one of seven divisions that I was running, a $40 million budget responsibility, lots of employees. None of that matters in and of itself, but it gives context that any given night, right, I'm at a suite, I'm entertaining at a concert, I'm constantly entertaining the advertisers that help to fund that enterprise. But when Brad called me, I tuned in and I listened. He told me about this guy. His name was Tony Dungy. And I didn't exactly say Tony who, but I didn't know the character of the man. I didn't know who he stood for. For those listeners that don't know him, you can Google him. He's on Football Night in America now. He's an author of over 20 books, and he's a remarkable Christian leader. His name is Tony Dungy. And it turns out that Brad said, hey, he wants to start a fatherhood program. It connected with me aspirationally. And I believe this, Jack, people support what they help to create. And Brad, in essence, was asking me to help create or co-create this concept of fatherhood in Indianapolis. It was called All Pro Dad. And I'm like, man, I can help with that. This is something I can do as a platform beyond the newspaper industry. I can help to promote it in the community, in our paper. And I can also help to raise the friends and the funds to get that done. But it was the fateful decision I think I made about a year into that to make a personal donation. And because I'd been in the green rooms and around Tony a little bit, I began to invest my own household income and my time in helping to build that charitable strategy with the help of many others, Mark Merrill and George Woods and so many that I need to give credit to. But I fell in love with what Tony was trying to do. He was different than any other athlete I'd ever met before, or in the case coach. He was the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And it was a joy to me to help create something to help make the community better by strengthening a fabric of men, of fathers and father figures in the community. And it was tremendous. So by 04, I had an opportunity to move out of the Star full time and begin to do missional activities beyond that, like helping All Pro Dad to grow. And that was the pathway that I took out. There's a few other steps in there, but it gives you a pretty good idea of how central All Pro Dad was to my departure from the Star in 2004.
All right. Tony Dungy is the first African-American head coach to win a Super Bowl. He had the Colts beat my Bears, famously. His autobiography is entitled Quiet Strength. I admire him for many things. He's been a guest on the show. One of the most amazing is he doesn't swear. You and I have been in a lot of locker rooms. We hear a lot of bad words. How was the man successful in reaching these pro athletes and not swearing?
I call it the whisper campaign. Sometimes when men whisper quiet strength, people lean in, Jack. They listen a little bit more intently. He didn't have to raise his voice. You knew when he was not happy with your on-field performance, and he would give you a pathway through the assistant coaches and through the position coaches to help you get better and help you grow as a player. And he didn't have to use profanity to raise his voice. And he was a remarkable person. And having been around him for hundreds of public and private engagements, I never heard him raise his voice. And he is what you think he is. He's true to that, whether you're with the president of the United States or whether you're with a child that's lost his father to a complex circumstance. Tony was the same in all circumstances. Really remarkable.
What's the biggest thing Tony Dungy has taught you, Darren Gray?
The blend of humility and strong confidence in the Lord. When you connect those two things together, the humility to know that, you know, I'm not the center of the universe. I don't have it all figured out. I need people's help. But at the same time, having this strong confidence to know that the Lord will come through, I can count on him to guide me and to lead me. I look for those two qualities all the time. In fact, it's one of the first things I look for in another, to see how they fall on that scale. And when I find leaders that are cut from that same cloth, those are the kind of guys, just like you, Jack, that I want to associate myself with, that I want to be connected to, because those are the ones that have a lot to teach me. And those are the values that I watch for: humility and strong confidence in the Lord.
All right. Speaking of qualities and values, what is an all-pro dad?
You know, it's somebody that knows that his earthly role, the most important thing, is being a great husband, a great father, a person committed to his own family, to his church, to his community, and all those around him. That's all pro, right? It's this aspirational word that we use. And dad means, right, tender heart. I love you because, I believe in you because, I'm proud of you because, constantly speaking life, speaking truth, finding a way to make those around him better. That's Tony's famous phrase. What are you going to do to make it better? Don't complain about it. No excuses, no explanations, right? We don't win just on emotion. We win on the execution. In other words, we win on the small things, the little things that make a big difference. Dads spend quantity time so they can find quality moments. When you begin to think about all of that in concert together, I really do believe that fathering in our world today is one of the most central things that we as men need to do. And it's no longer okay, Jack, for us just to father our own children. We need to see how we can father our neighbor's children, which means we have to know who our neighbors are. We have to seek them out. We have to be neighborly in our approaches. And that is what I believe it means to be an all-pro dad.
All right. Great mutual friend that we both admired, Dr. Joe White and his wife, Debbie Joe, yes, for 45 years have run Kanakuk Ministries. And he believes that, quote, kids are the greatest natural resource in America. And kids spell love, T-I-M-E. So speaking of young people, Darren, what do they really want and need today?
They need to know that they belong. They need to know that it's a safe place for them to be who they really are, and they need a father or a father figure in the absence of a father that believes in them. So I always say, believe and belong. Those are the two B's. Kids need that. They need to believe in themselves, but oftentimes they can't believe in themselves till another believes in them and tells them they're good enough, right? They matter. Their life will have an opportunity to make a difference. And that in America today is one of the challenges that we face with some of the breakdown in the modern family. And hey, we're going to get through this because of men like you, Jack, that are probably a grandfather and father and care deeply about their own families, then we have to create an army. And that's what we're doing today, creating an army of other men that'll step up, whether you call them Hall of Fame dads, all pro dads, all star dads. It doesn't matter to me because fatherhood is open source. Fatherhood is all play. We need every kind of organization to come together to father, to mentor, and to step up to help make a difference in the life of a young person. And that's what I've committed the last 20 plus years of my life to, and I'm honored to do it.
Talking to Darren Gray. If you want to learn more, www.darren, D-A-R-R-I-N, gray.com. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Darren Gray. Darren, I've often heard it said by people that work with young people that the number one piece of advice they give them is forget yourself and help others. That's very hard for young people to do because their whole world is themselves. How do they do it?
Through modeling. Right. More is caught than taught. What I mean by that is they need to find other people that they admire, that they look up to, that are doing exactly that. Right. That aren't caught up in their own self. A few minutes ago, we talked about this idea of personal humility and how that connects to strong belief or strong confidence. And so when they find a role model that can pour into them and can model that with lots of time, quantity time creates quality moments because those happen within the quantity of time. That's what I believe they need to know. Like, it's okay. You don't have to be the center of the universe, young person, whether it's my child or those that I care about, the other children in my life. I need to model that. And forgetting about myself is a really, really good place to start. I think of it this way. It's not me-ism, it's we-ism. So how do we move from the me, like center of the universe, to we-ism? Like, that's what we want. We want, that's a good problem when we're all coming together. How can we be better together? And kids got to see that modeled because, again, more is caught than taught.
A recent guest, Daryl Woods, told me the only difference between wellness and illness is the we versus the I. Okay. A father out there tonight's listening and he says, I have no relationship with my son or daughter. I've abandoned them. What do you say to that father?
I'll start them in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and it says this, and I'm going to bring a spiritual overtone because that is a dis-ease in itself, right? There's a brokenness, there's a disconnection between father and child, and that's not the natural order of things. So you've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And then the sound mind and the self-discipline coupled with the love and the ability to bring all of that together in a way that will guide you. So I would say in a perfect world, you would go and you would find your own coach. Could be a pastor, could be a mentor, a leader, someone else in your life to talk that through with, to get clear on what the brokenness was. What was the source of the disconnect between you and your child? Once you identify that, it becomes a whole lot more easy to begin to work toward that and beginning to make overtures to this child, whether they're still young or whether they're an adult child, to begin to say, you know what, I messed up. It's amazing what those words will say, right? Oh, was it the child's fault? Did they do something? Well, perhaps, but owning your part in that and making a gesture of contrition and reconciliation to say, what, I don't have it figured out. I'm so, so sorry. Start there. And when you start there, right, with the power of the Holy Spirit, coupled with a good coach and a mentor, your chance of success will be greater than if you try to go that alone, because repairing and restoring relationships are really, really challenging sometimes. And I don't want to make it out to be that's going to be an easy path. But I believe with the coach, you've got a good shot. And I believe that the great coach is the ultimate father, right? That's who I look up to, right? The Father God, right? His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, which guide me forward and give me the strength I need to step forward in faith and to know that I can make it, but I can't do it on my own.
We're talking to Darren Gray, and he believes that his calling is a ministry of availability. You've been around thousands of professional athletes. Talk about the challenges that they face.
Goodness. You know, when you layer fame on top of your job, think about this. Everyday dads, you go to work, you do what you do. Maybe you have a Twitter handle. You do a few things. You might have 5,000 followers. I don't know. That's probably a lot. But when you layer fame on top of that and say, hey, you're under a microscope and performance is what the fans want. They want more catches, more yards. They want greater yards after the catch. They want all these things. It's a lot to live up to. And so what we've got to do is slow it down with athletes, Jack, and give them a chance to find their true identity. And when their true identity is based on a value system that's deeper than just performance-based, hey, they have an opportunity to know who they are. Now, ideally, I want them to know who they are in Christ, but on the way there, I want them to understand that they're somebody, regardless of whether they make another play or not. Now, when they start making plays, they get good coaching, they get in a team setting that allows them to thrive, and they understand their deeper identity, right? The audience of one, of this idea that the audience that I play for is not all the fans, but it's for the Most High God. Now they can reconcile who they are, that their performance matters in the context of you got to win to keep your job, but sometimes you lose. And in that setting, it gives you an opportunity to learn about who you really are. And that's why I believe the ministry of availability is so incredibly important in and around pro athletes, because they need sounding boards to be present with them in the good times and the bad times, and to give them the coaching that they need beyond just performance on the field. So that's a little bit of my insight. I'd love to talk even more about that as we go on today.
We're talking to Darren Gray. He's the co-author of The Jersey Effect, Beyond the World Championship. All right, let's profile one or two. Let's go to Warwick Dunn.
I communicated with Warwick earlier today. I'm going to be on I'll be with Warwick on Friday night at 6 o'clock in Chicago, where we're meeting at Coach Ditka. He has a project there that he's doing that I'll be up for. And Warwick is absolutely remarkable. And I'll tell the story this way. If folks don't know, Warwick's was Mr. Everything from the earliest of grades. He was identified in the youth coaching ranks that he was something special. In fact, one time he told me, and I haven't verified this, but that he didn't lose a game until he got to college. Like, you know, this idea that he played at Florida State under an amazing Bobby Bowden. He had quite the college experience too. But You know, think about that. You've never lost a game because he was so gifted, and I'm sure he had other great players around him, but Warrick is so humble. He is so yet so confident, and he had a tragic loss of his mother who was killed as an officer. And you know, that creates a challenge, but it was really in some ways Tony and Lauren Dungy that came alongside him, gave him some extra nurturing that he needed to be able to then raise his own family, his brothers and sisters. And it was just a remarkable thing to behold. But along the way, he had learned that he had a passion. He took the tragedy, right? To the test becomes the testimony. Right. How is it that we use the tragedy in our lives to become or inform our mission in life? And in the case of Warrick, he now has a mission to help single moms get houses. And what a remarkable thing. I think he's over 150 homes now that he's helped to build. And it's pretty cool to watch him go.
In 2004, he was named the Walter Payton Man of the Year by the NFL. Spectacular human being. We're talking to another spectacular human being, Aaron Gray. When we come back, we're going to ask him about athletes in action. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Darren Gray. And since 2018, he's been the CMO of Athletes in Action. What are they?
Athletes in Action is a global mission field where we want to make sure that there's a Jesus follower on every team, in every sport, in every nation. We've got over 1,000 employees and trained affiliates that are, in essence, missionaries just like me. It sounds kind of crazy, but my mission field is the world of pro sports and all the ecosystem around sport to make sure that the conditions are right for Jesus followers to be able to rise up. We call them equipped, multiplying disciple makers. Now, that's a mouthful, but in fact, that's the work that we do to try to make sure that every team has access to people that know who Jesus is and can and share that good news, whether that's a player-led movement, whether that's a chaplain, whether that's a coach or somebody in the front office. And so that's the kind of work that we do. We're doing it internationally. We now say it's global because everything doesn't emanate from the United States. That would be international. What we do is make sure that we've got a global footprint so that all over the world, whether we're talking about making sure that we've got folks on the ground with a ball and the Bible to help connect with people. And sometimes that long journey of Athletes in Action, just it blows me away, all that's been done with wrestling and basketball and all those things. It's a special, special thing. And one of the key outreaches that I help to guide in partnership with several other key leaders inside Athletes in Action is called the Super Bowl Breakfast and BART Star Awards. Folks can learn about that at superbowlbreakfast.com. It's an amazing program. The next one's going to be in Phoenix. We've already begun to lay the groundwork where we've got folks like Tony Dungy and Joe Gibbs and so many others that are leaning in on that project to help make sure that the gospel is made manifest at the a Super Bowl. And in this case, it's an NFL sanctioned event. So we couldn't be more excited about what's going to happen in Phoenix. If there's anybody out there that wants to learn more, just log on to superbowlbreakfast.com.
Also, athletesinaction.com. There's four values: faith, oneness, growth, fruitfulness. Could you talk about the values of Athletes in Action?
Yeah, we spend an awful lot of time. In fact, this very week, we spent time on that topic, talking about what it is that we're going to do to create more equipped, multiplying disciple makers. That would fall into the growth category. What are we going to do to help not only lead someone to have a deeper walk with Christ, but also then to share that with others? We believe that is the Great Commission. Right? How do we take the name of Jesus to the end of the earth? Sometimes I call it the great collaboration, because I believe what it really takes is people coming together and encouraging other people to lead that great commandment around the world. It's a lot easier to do in community. That's the church. What is the church? Right? The church is people coming together to help step forward in faith to say, you know what? We want to be equipped ourselves, so that we can equip others who will then want to equip others. And that is how Christianity grows. And that's the best of Christianity. But doing that in a way that's fruitful, doing it in a way that's oneness, that's the tough one these days, right? Because a lot of divisiveness out there in the world as people think about things that divide us, right? Color of skin, black, white, that's an easy one. But male, female, there's all kinds of dualisms. But what we try to do is come together and say, you know what? We can recognize that there are differences. We can celebrate those differences, and we can come together in a spirit of unity. And my high calling, Jack, is unity in the body of sports ministry. I love at Athletes in Action, working at the highest levels with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I love working with professional athlete outreach. I love working with InterVarsity. I've got so many initiatives across the world, in fact, that bring together this spirit of unity in order to make sure that the good name of the Lord is raised up, and we do it in a way that allows us to recognize our differences, what we're good at, but then ultimately magnify the name of the Lord in and around the world of sports, media, and ministry.
Athletesinaction.org. All right, speaking of divisiveness, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners saying, this is terrific. But then they say, but it's illegal. Well, you're going to get shut down. You're going to get thrown off of the Twitter, the Facebook, boom, boom, boom. You can't do that. How do we get away with it?
How do we get away with sharing who we really are? Right? You know, the Constitution protects us and allows us to be able to share who we really are. Tony Dungy, let's just use him as a prominent faith-based leader. He's a faith-forward leader in the highest levels of sports and broadcast. And he doesn't tell you, nor will I, Jack, you've heard me over the course of this conversation today, I don't tell you you need to be a Jesus follower. I invite you to want to ask me why I'm a Jesus follower. I invite you to be curious about what it is that gives me such joy. Why is it that I can share the good news that I have and the joy in my heart? It's because of who I am and the Constitution that protects me and our organization in the United States. So we love what we do. We love the opportunity to share the good news, but we don't force it upon anyone. If they don't want it, they can tune it out. But if they do want to know the great and high calling of being a Christian in this world, hey, we're happy to tell them more.
We're talking to the Minister of Availability, Darren Gray. I quote him now, the relationships, the people you surround yourself with will more often than not determine your outcomes in life, and you tend to reflect the communities you're connected to. So you're huge in mentoring relationships. If there's a young person out there, I don't know any people, how do I get started?
You take a deep breath and you look around you and identify three people in your life that are at least 10 years older than you, and you go to them and you say, I need help. In other words, I need a coach. I need mentoring. I am not the center of the universe. And there is no good-spirited adult and good-spirited, whether you're a believer or not, that will say, if the young person that comes to them and say, I need help, that won't say, I'd be happy to help. Now, they're not always equipped to be able to do that, but they'll always lean in for a little bit. So the reason I say three is to make sure that the person that you ultimately cling to, I have mentors in life that I could talk about if we had more time today, that I've chosen at 10 years ahead. And why I believe that's so important, if you've got three, then one of those will pay off. They won't all stick, right? Every mentor does not stay connected to a young person forever. But I actually have mentors in my life that I've been connected to for decades now. And I'm so glad that I said those words to others. I need help. Hey, will you help me to be the better version of Darren? And hopefully, I'll let you decide, but hopefully it's paid a few dividends along the way as a father, as a role model, as a mentor, and as a man that tries to live out his values in his daily walk.
Speaking of fathers, tomorrow we celebrate, we honor Father's Day. As we close, can you lead us in a closing prayer for the dads out there?
You know what? The last verse of Malachi, Jack, says that one day there will come a prophet formed in the image of Elijah, which is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And if that doesn't happen, there will be hell to pay. Now, that's the message version. But as we look around society, as I frame up the need for this prayer, and that's where we should start, there's hell to pay. There's challenges out there. There's brokenness. There's divisiveness. And so what I believe is the greatest solution is the ultimate father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to set the stage right there. Again, go check out the last verse of the Old Testament in Malachi. Get anchored on what it was that that prophet was trying to talk about, who I ultimately believe became made manifest in this world in the form of John the Baptist, who led us to Jesus Christ. Another time we can talk more deeply about that. But Lord, thank you for a chance to come together with believers around the country on this eve of Father's Day, June 18th, 2022. Lord, we need you to help guide us, to encourage us to step forward even when it's difficult. Help us to father our own children, to mentor those that are fatherless, and to take seriously the business of being the best husband, the father, and role models that we can be. So Lord, we're counting on you now to show up in our lives, to give us what it is that we need to ultimately become the best version of ourselves so that we can step forward in faith, knowing that you have accomplished all things, and all things can be accomplished through you, because we love you, we're called according to your purposes, and we believe that all things are going to work together for good. And it's in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, thank you for Darren Gray and bringing him and Tony Dungy together and all the good they've done these many years. Keep it up, Darren. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.